to clear out. Only then did he finally spot the source of the attacks. A large vessel in gold and red hovered a few hundred meters above the fortress, something that looked like a mix of a flying treasure and a floating island. Zack couldn't see how it looked from the top, but it seemed to be kept in the air with a massive ball of flames. Zack sighed with a shake of his head as he took out his own flying treasure. The cultists really liked their fire. He quickly rose into the sky as the tower fell to the ground behind him, no longer supported by the shield. Nausea and double vision plagued him from the pain of opening a node, so he needed to end this fast. He forced the unruly cosmic energy into his arm as he prepared his last skill of mass destruction. He had used up deforestation in his earlier fight, but there was still one more card he could bring out. Nature's punishment. His whole body was covered in sweat from the pain of forcibly utilizing his maimed pathways, but he couldn't stop at this juncture. Space cracked, and the familiar hand flew out, though Zack was a bit disappointed that the hand hadn't changed at all from him evolving. It still radiated terrifying might due to the fragment of the Bodhi, though, and it shot straight through a burst of flames without even getting its leaves singed. The hand placed itself straight above the floating warship, and Zack didn't delay a second before the familiar branch started to descend. There was no way to tell what these unhinged lunatics had planned, and he needed to strike before it was too late. The branch quickly grew in size as it shot down at the ship, but a burning whip covered in white-hot flames shot up to meet its descent. Zack spotted a lizard man standing at the fore of the vessel. His eyes lit up like two blazing beacons as five swirls of pure white globes of fire circulated behind him. Zack had fought one of the other generals just the other day, but the power this man emitted far eclipsed him. In fact, this man felt even more threatening than the Lich King himself, though much of the danger from the undead leader had come from his command of formations. Had the leader of the Church of the Everlasting Tao come in person? Chapter 89. Fates Obduracy. If this really was the incursion leader of the Church of Everlasting Tao, then a massive chance had presented itself, as Zack still didn't know where the cultist incursion was located. They had somehow managed to hide their base of operations all this time, while sending out roving death squads that killed everything in their path. The best idea his people had to find these guys were to investigate the zones of Pangaea that had no reports of human activity. They figured the lack of surviving towns could mean that everyone had already been killed by the Church, and the incursion pillar was close. But killing the leader here would save them all that trouble, as the incursion would still end if he died. However, the head priest of the Church was clearly no chump. One of the flaming balls hovering behind his back entered the whip as it elongated to reach well over 100 meters. The very air burned while the whip ripped through the sky as the weapon's flames increased in intensity many times over. Zack instantly felt a blistering pain in his arm as the damage to the branch was transferred over. It was like the whip was a boa constrictor that tried to squeeze the life out of the branch as it looped around it multiple times over, preventing it from freely growing in size. The white-hot flames had quickly latched onto the branch as well, and an inferno raged on across its surface. Burnt bark fell like rain from the sky, as new layers grew out at the cost of even more of Zack's cosmic energy. Zack felt like a fool when he saw the scene. The pain from opening his node had made him activate the skill as usual, instead of thinking things through. He had always used the wooden punishment since gaining the fragment of the Bodhi, as the two resonated the best, but he would clearly have been better off using the mountain or water punishment this time around. Still, there was no point in crying over spilled milk. The fight had turned into a battle between destruction and creation, in a sense, and Zack intended to emerge the victor of that struggle. He kept infusing nature's punishment with his Tao and cosmic energy while he tried to force the branch to descend. The priest, on the other hand, was forced to infuse one globe of flames after another into his spirit tool to power the fires raging across the swelling branch. Zack still hadn't met anyone who was able to outlast him in a clash of endurance, but he actually felt the skill starting to destabilize much quicker than usual. He had no choice, and the energy around him veritably exploded as he activated Hatchet Man's rage. The branch suddenly radiated powerful waves as well, and the flames were quickly subdued. Zack saw his chance as he made a final push, and the whip simply snapped as the branch exploded in size. Newly born branches spread in every direction before they all turned toward the warship, like hundreds of falling spears. The wooden punishment had finally gained its momentum, and it crashed into the warship with enough force to push both the miasmic clouds and the flames aside. A golden shield appeared to block the strike, but it quickly broke as the main branch punched a massive hole. Flame and metal rained down toward the ground as both the ship and the sun that powered it broke apart, and screams echoed across the golden sky as dozens of cultists plummeted toward the ground. Zack managed to kill most of them with a rapid flurry of fractal edges, but his focus was still on the leaders. The head priest was still alive, as the surge of cosmic energy he felt was nowhere big enough to correspond to killing someone that powerful. Finally, his target emerged through the smoke on top of a far smaller flying vessel with four powerful warriors to his side. Zack prepared himself for a final clash, wanting to end the battle before the timer for his buff ran out. But his eyes widened in shock when he realized there would be no cataclysmic battle in the sky. The so-called zealots left a burning trail in the air as they fled for their lives. Zack couldn't believe his eyes when he saw the church leader escape with enough gusto to almost punch a hole in the sound barrier. Was this the same faction as the one where pretty much everyone was ready to blow themselves up just for a shot at dragging you with them to hell? Where was the fanaticism? The leaf ripped through the air as Zack instructed his flying vessel to pursue, as he didn't want to let the cultists get away. A chance like this wouldn't come again. The smaller vessel shot away with shocking speed, but Zack's own leaf wasn't any worse than whatever some local cultists could bring to the table. It whizzed after the group of five, taking advantage of the fact that the cultists were actually burning away the death-attuned haze in front of them, forming some sort of wind tunnel. But Zack soon realized that he actually was unable to catch up to the group, as they seemed to have an endless supply of fire-attuned nexus crystals that they fed into the vessel, allowing it to burn through the dead zone. Zack started peppering them with fractal blades from behind, but he sighed when he saw the man with the whip crush them one by one without overtaxing himself. The spirit tool in the head priest's hand was no doubt top tier, and he was clearly some ways into the E-grade as well. Zack kept trying to take them down while Hatchet Man's rage was still active, but he was out of cards. The sense of power was soon replaced with weakness, and he wasn't sure what he should do. He didn't want to leave these guys alive, but he also couldn't leave Kenzie and the others alone in the middle of the dead zone while he harried the Church of Everlasting Tao for God knows how long. Besides, there was still the realignment array to deal with. A few more minutes passed as he adapted to the state of weakness while they flew further and further. But finally, he had an idea, and the amulet around his neck slithered to his back to gain its backpack form. The inscribed circle on the lid was dimmed out after having used Death's Embrace, but there was another set of inscriptions that were still in working order. Zack infused a large chunk of his remaining cosmic energy, and the two lines of fractals running along its length lit up. The scriptures started to slither back and forth across the coffin lid for a second before they suddenly rose into the air, forming two actual chains wrought from darkness that shot toward his targets. However, the head priest unleashed a massive arc of flames that crashed into the two chains, causing them to shatter in an instant. However, a skill from Love's Bond obviously wouldn't be defeated so easily. The two shattered chains suddenly regrew into four before they resumed their pursuit. The cultists desperately swatted them down over and over, but it was useless. They just split and grew back when they broke apart, just like the heads of a hydra. Zack had already gotten a hint of what the skill would do, but his eyes still widened in shock when he saw the sea of darkness rushing after the vessel with wild abandon. Finally, the cultists couldn't hold the tide back any longer, and they were swallowed up by a ball of chains that frantically writhed as it tried to crush everything within its cage. The ball was quickly dragged back toward Zack, who could hear crunching sounds and screams from within. However, a massive blast of flames suddenly erupted from within, forcing the chains away long enough for a flash of light to escape the stranglehold. A frown marred Zack's face as he looked at the river of flames that rushed toward the horizon, the stream having a speed that superseded his flying leaf by many times over. He knew it wasn't an errant burst of flames, but rather some sort of escape skill or treasure, something in the same vein as the top-tier escape skill that was in Thea's possession. Zack sighed, as he knew that there was no way he'd be able to capture whoever had fled, and he turned his attention back to the ball of chains that hovered in front of him. The chains of darkness had pretty much turned into a solid by this point, and things had turned completely silent by this point as blood dripped down from the bottom. This was the second skill of Love's Bond, called Fate's Obduracy. This skill could be used, like now, to wear down a single target with an unceasing wave of chains. Another strategy could be him sending the set of chains out to cause widespread destruction, where any attempt to stop the advance would worsen the situation. In either case, it was a nigh unstoppable skill of destruction. Just like Death's Embrace, it had a pretty long cooldown. He wouldn't be able to use the skill for a full 2 weeks, and he would need to feed the coffin with some energy-rich treasures to recharge itself. There was also a limit of just how many times the chains could reproduce. The cultists hadn't actually been that far from shaking off the attack. If the head priest hadn't burnt all five of those globes of flames to deal with nature's punishment, he might have been able to exhaust the skill completely. Zack instructed the mess of chains to unravel, and it displayed an utterly crumpled ship, along with three barely distinguishable corpses. That meant that the burst of flames had contained two people, one of them being the man with the whip. Zack sighed as he instructed his leaf to fly back toward the undead fortress after looting the corpses. He was still extremely disappointed with himself failing to kill that man. If the leader had just died with the rest of the cultists, Zack would have been done by now, having dealt with the two most troubling incursions in one fell swoop. But he guessed he couldn't always luck out, even with a luck of over 300. The emerald leaf whizzed through the air as Zack returned toward the undead fortress. However, he started to worry again as he flew, as he saw terrifying numbers of zombies streaming toward the core of the dead zone as well. He had already noticed that the outer shield had been deactivated, perhaps as a result of him breaking the array towers in the base, and now the enormous numbers of zombies who were previously stuck outside were on the move. Zack didn't hesitate to infuse the leaf with the fragment of the Bodhi to speed up his return, but he quickly changed course when he saw a group of familiar faces some ways from the ruined fortress. It was everyone except Agras, and they had planted themselves on top of a small hill. The Valkyries had once again erected a shield wall, which was no surprise, considering they were utterly surrounded by a sea of zombies. However, it barely seemed necessary. The shield occasionally received a swipe from a close-by zombie, but there was no concerted effort to push past the barrier. They all kept moving forward, streaming toward the fortress as though they were under a spell.
"You're back," Kenzie said with a relieved smile. "What happened?"
"I've dealt with the cultists, but a few got away. What's going on?"
Zack asked with bemusement as he landed next to them.
And where is Agras?
He went off to check things out, Kenzie said. As for these guys, we think they are heading toward the incursion. It started just a minute or two after you flew away. It's like something's luring them toward the teleporter.
We think the undead kingdom is doing something to attract the zombies to bring them over to the other side, Joanna added.
Why aren't you fighting them? Zack asked curiously. It should be a good opportunity to level up.
It feels weird, Kenzie said. It was one thing when they were attacking us, but now they are just ignoring us. They are former Earthlings, after all. We were thinking it would be better to simply let them go, if it means they'll get to at least live on in some way. And we figured there's no need to antagonize a faction like the Undead Empire even further.
Besides, we've even gained a lot, Emily said with a wide grin.
Oh? Zack said with confusion, but he suddenly remembered the teenager should have gotten a part of his cosmic energy due to her buff. How much did you gain?
6,
she said, her widening grin almost splitting her face in two.
I gained more than 6 levels, thanks to you. I told you we should go out hunting together. I'd pass Thea Marshall in a week or two.
If you always ride the coattails of others, you'll turn into a useless vase,
a voice echoed out across the hill as Agras appeared from the shadows.
You need to rely on yourself.
What about you playing all cool and saying you'd deal with that lady general? Kenzie detonated a bomb right in her face just a few days ago. Zack almost knocked the soul out of her body and then cut off her hand. It's not like you're any different,
Emily retorted with a teasing glance.
You were a lot cuter after Zack picked you up from the streets. Feels like I've lost a daughter.
Agras sighed with an exaggeratedly forlorn expression. Or perhaps it was just his wretched appearance that gave that impression, as he looked like he had been oven-roasted for a few hours. His body sported multiple new scorch marks that weren't there when they'd met earlier, and even his white hair had been singed clean off.
"What's with your look?" Zack asked with a snort, as the demon really cut a sorry sight. I thought you left the fortress before the cultists arrived.
Those nether-blasted lunatics really didn't hold back. Who knows how much wealth was destroyed? I tried to salvage what I could before it was too late, the demon explained.
Hey, you two are matching now,
Emily said with glee as she pointedly looked at Agras's bald head.
Shit. Don't lump me together with that eunuch, Agras spat, as his white hair quickly grew back until it reached his shoulders again. That's better.
Did you find anything? Zack asked with a frown.
Not much, the demon shrugged. A storeroom full of half-burnt herbs. I don't recognize the thing, but there were massive quantities. I am guessing it's something used on zombies from how much of it they had. So, what happened with the cultists? Did you get the leader?
I don't think so, Zack sighed as he retold his encounter with the zealots.
A whip? That's a pretty rare weapon for a man, the demon muttered. I never heard of him from any reports either. It should be the leader of the incursion, who only ventured out to deal with you. Shame. Such life-saving measures usually come with a price, though.
Let's hope so. I'll go check things out at the incursion, Zack finally said as he took out the flying treasure again.
However, the moment he was about to instill the leaf with some energy to activate it, he felt the whole world shudder and turn slanted. An agonizing pain ripped through his body, and he felt his vision close in on him. Chapter 90 Triv. Zack woke up with a start, his head a chaotic mess, but he instinctively shot to his feet with his weapon at the ready. He barely had time to stop himself from bisecting a shocked Valkyrie
before he remembered where he was.
"Sorry about that. How long was I out?"
Zack asked with a hoarse voice.
"Around 40 minutes," Kenzie said with worry. "What's wrong? Are you poisoned?"
"It's nothing," Zack said as he rubbed his temples. "I broke open a node by force earlier because of all the energy I gained. I think I overextended myself a bit."
"I completely forgot after seeing you zip around as usual. I'm surprised you could fight like that at all," Agras said, his eyes wide. "I guess that even the heavens has finally had enough of your luck and sent some cultists in your direction. Karma always comes knocking sooner or later."
Zack turned his sight inward, and he was a bit better than before. His pathways were still a mess, but his flesh was on the mend already. He guessed that he had fallen unconscious because he had used his pathways when he should have been resting. It was a valuable experience, though, learning what kind of effect exploding a node had on his body and combat readiness. But the node wasn't the only problem that ailed his body at the moment. He thought a second before he walked a few steps away, and shocked exclamations echoed across the hill as he stabbed himself in his arm. A large spurt of blood stained the ground, but the wound quickly scabbed over.
"Don't worry, just expelling some toxins," Zack said as he took out his flying treasure. "I feel a lot better already. Get ready. I'll check out the situation around the pillar for threats before we deal with the realignment array."
Zack really did feel a lot better after having exsanguinated himself. Voidheart had absorbed both a bunch of miasma and poisons during the fight, and having been bled a few times helped him get some of the impurities out. He still would have preferred to rest up some more, but there was still the aftermath of the invasion to deal with. He gingerly tried activating the flying treasure again, and this time it went smoothly. He soon closed in on the turquoise pillar, and he actually saw a familiar figure fretting back and forth some distance away from it. The ghost who had hovered right next to the Lich King earlier. It looked unsure whether to enter or not. However, the moment it spotted Zack, its visage turned even ghastlier and became marred with horror, and it desperately shot toward the Nexus Hub. The ghost wasn't all that quick, though, especially not compared to a top-tier flying treasure like Zack's. Just a second after the ghost spotted him, he had been caught, held firmly in Zack's grasp. A few revenants were overseeing the zombies as well, but they desperately jumped into the teleportation array, abandoning their colleague to its fate.
"Who are you?"
Zack asked as he shook the ghost for a bit.
"Sir, I am just an attendant to Lord Ed, the wretched Lich Adriel. 1,000 blessings upon you for freeing me," he hurriedly said. "Please spare this useless one. I am not a threat to you or your planet. I am just a custodian, a non-combat class ordered to come to this planet against his wishes."
"Shameless enough," Zack snorted. "What's going on here?"
"We're bringing back the children,"
the ghost explained, not hesitating to spill the beans.
"They will have a better future coming with us than staying here, and it will rid your planet of these walking holy beacons."
Zack frowned as he looked at the zombies, who mindlessly shuffled forward until they disappeared into the incursion pillar. Perhaps the ghost was right. The death attunement should dissipate sooner or later. And what would become of these people? Some might turn sapient and find themselves stuck on a planet with a hostile environment full of enemies, but most would simply be cut down by cultivators gathering Nexus coins and cosmic energy. At the Undead Empire, they would at least have a chance to be born anew.
"Fine, I'll let them go. Now tell me how to turn off the realignment array,"
Zack said. This was the most pressing issue now. The quest to stop the realignment still hadn't completed. He had actually noticed that the massive lines in the sky had started to fade while he hunted the cultists, but it seemingly wasn't enough. The most likely suspect was obviously the array below the surface, but he still believed that having this attendant turn it off was the safest bet. But his hopes were quickly dashed as the ghost frantically shook his head.
"I can't," the ghost cried. "I would love to explain to the young master, but I can't."
"The first directive?" Zack asked with a frown.
"Yes, yes, you are very well read. The first directive precludes me from helping you, no matter my personal wish to assist."
The ghost nodded. Zack frowned as his eyes bored into the squirming specter. Cathaya had never really explained exactly how binding the commandments were, but they didn't seem like complete compulsions to Zack. There should be some wiggle room, and Zack felt he might as well do some name-dropping to see if the Draugr girl could help him one last time.
"I recently became friends with Cathaya Sharva-Z from the Empire Heartlands when I visited the Tower of Eternity. It appears she is visiting your kingdom while her master is in secluded cultivation," Zack said as he took out the teleportation token she'd given him before he flashed his tower title.
"She gave me this token. You might recognize it." "This? 9th floor? And you know that exalted mistress?"
The ghost veritably screamed as its incorporeal eyes darted back and forth between the title and the token. Cathaya actually hadn't given him a token representing her force, but he was willing to bet that some random ghost wouldn't know the difference. For all it knew, it might very well be a teleportation token leading straight to the Empire Heartlands rather than Twilight Harbor.
"I can put in a good word for you the next time I meet her. Or I can do the opposite," Zack shrugged. "I will turn off the realignment array sooner or later, even if I have to rip this whole fortress apart. I don't mind turning you into a pile of ghost dust first, though."
The ghost sputtered for a few seconds until it calmed down.
"Did you know that the attunement of a planet is based on its world core? It is a magical crystal residing in the deepest core of a world. Some believe that a world core is essentially alive, and the planet's attunement is a result of its cultivation, where it absorbs the energy of the cosmos. What do you think would happen if such a core was flooded with death while it was sealed off from the cosmos?"
the ghost said before it dimmed as though it were wounded. Zack's eyes widened as he looked at the wretched appearance of the ghost. Was it actually wounded from divulging some information like that? However, it still hadn't answered his question, at least not straight out. Most of what it said was just general information and theories, and nothing that he wouldn't be able to piece together himself. However, Zack obviously understood the implied meaning behind the ghost's words.
"The array in the sky was just blocking out the cosmos," Zack muttered before he looked down at the ground.
It seemed as though the people of Earth had gotten things a bit backward, if Zack had understood the ghost's explanation correctly. The enormous array in the sky wasn't actually the realignment array. It was at best half of it, responsible for isolating the planet from the universe, preventing it from absorbing normal energies. The real realignment was taking place underground. Both parts were important to stop, but the most important might be whatever was going on in that underground chamber. It looked like he would have to bring his sister after all. Catching other undead wouldn't do him any good either, as they no doubt would be implicated by the same compulsions.
"You'll be coming with me for a bit," Zack said to the ghost, as love's bond transformed into a coffin on his back.
The next moment, four chains wrapped around the screeching ghost, each of them imbued with the fragment of the Bodhi. One twist would rip the hostage apart if he tried anything, but it looked unlikely, judging by how weak it felt. Zack still kept his eyes on the ghost as they flew back to his group to pick up his sister. Agras might be helpful as well, but he seemed pretty wrung out. Zack left him on the hill instead, so that he could protect the group while he recuperated. After all, There was still one undead general on the loose who could appear at any moment.
"What's this?" Kenzie asked as she curiously looked at the captured ghost.
"Young master, you should not mix with the forces of the boundless path,"
the ghost said, pointedly ignoring Kenzie.
"Living or dead, we still follow heaven's path. Consorting with heretics will only lead to a lifetime of suffering."
"She's not a technocrat. She's my sister," Zack snorted. "I just closed a technocrat incursion and picked up some tools that are helpful until we've grown stronger. And you talk pretty big after almost having killed our planet."
"A thousand apologies, mistress,"
the ghost exclaimed, his attitude taking a dramatic turn.
"This humble one is called Triv. I worked as a caretaker of the previous lord of this manor."
Zack suddenly realized that the ghost would be a pretty good source of knowledge. It obviously wouldn't be as knowledgeable as someone like Cathaya, but he was still the right-hand man to the Lich King. He should have listened in on all sorts of conversations and had free access to a lot of intelligence. Perhaps keeping him on Earth wouldn't be such a bad idea, provided he could be controlled.
"I thought he might be useful in turning off the realignment array," Zack added. "It is obviously still going, since the quest hasn't completed."
"But the massive arrays in the sky seem to be weakening," Kenzie skeptically said. "They should clear up in another hour or two."
Zack quickly recounted his experiences below ground as they reached the entrance to the hidden subterranean chamber. The group jumped down as one, but Kenzie immediately fell over, completely pale and shuddering. Only then did Zack remember the extremely dense death attunement in the air. It wasn't too bad for him now that the Lich King wasn't there to amplify the effect, but someone like Kenzie was clearly worse off. He quickly handed her an E-grade divine crystal as he spread out his Tao field for the fragment of the Bodhi. It helped alleviate her symptoms, but it also made the ghost scream in pain until Zack moved the chains out of the field.
"Thank you," Kenzie said with a hoarse voice. "That was pretty scary."
"No problem," Zack said with a smile as he looked around. "What do you think?"
"These things are part of one array. I think the condensed death energy in here is just an after effect. Kind of like radiation in a power plant or something," she muttered as she looked around, her eyes flashing red for a few seconds before they dimmed again.
"How do we turn this thing off?" Zack asked.
Kenzie walked over to the closest pillar, and she went over every line for a few minutes. They also tried to go over the mysterious core, but they couldn't even get close before the aura of death became too overpowering.
"I think we can deactivate the pillars if we make our way from the outside," she hesitantly said. "We'll leave the core for last."
Zack nodded as they moved to the edge of the chamber, where Kenzie started breaking a few inscription lines that connected the pillar with the dense runes on the floor. Zack helped out by ripping crystal after crystal out of the sockets, rapidly expanding his stockpile of miasma crystals. They spent the next hour going back and forth, where Zack essentially acted as a mobile counterforce to the death attunement in the air. However, even he was starting to grow tired, as it was a constant drain on his mental energy to keep his Tao field active in this environment. Zack initially wanted to start smashing pillars, but Kenzie was afraid that would cause a massive final discharge of death energies that might hurt the world core. But Kenzie got more and more skilled at turning off the pillars, and soon enough they had all dimmed down, leaving just the pedestal. It emitted a terrifying amount of death-attuned energy, even though the pillars were all turned off. The energy clearly came from the rock. It was pitch black and polished smooth, making it almost look like an egg. The egg emitted mysterious fluctuations as well, and Zack frowned when he realized that it rendered his Tao field utterly useless. Kenzie couldn't get close to it at all, and they had to retreat after a short while.
"What is that thing?"
Zack asked with a frown as he turned to the ghost, who was still chained up.
"And don't tell me you don't know."
I'm not exactly sure what it is, the ghost said. They are called Seeds of Undeath. Our kingdom receives them from the Empire along with this array.
Like a realignment kit? Zack asked.
Precisely, the ghost nodded. Even small kingdoms such as ours can obviously convert a planet on our own, but our means require high-graded items that are impossible to bring through an incursion. But the Empire provides these things as a sole...
It didn't get any further, though, before massive convulsions racked its intangible form. Zack sighed in annoyance, as it looked like they couldn't get anything more out of the ghost without it exploding for breaking the commandments.
So now tell me, why shouldn't I kill you now that we know everything?
Zack asked, as his eyes bored into the translucent orbs of the ghost. Chapter 91 Lump of Coal.
Kill me!
Trib shrieked with dismay.
No! Let me stay on this planet. I could be useful to you.
You'd stay on a life-attuned planet rather than return to your kingdom? Zack snorted.
I'm fine while my master is dead. There is no way I will survive returning to face Lord Rexus. My soul will be tortured until it finally crumbles from age,
Triv hurriedly said, the words veritably spilling out of his mouth.
That's why I resisted the call earlier.
I thought you couldn't resist the compulsions of the Empire, Zack said.
That's different. The one calling was Lord Rexus, Lord Adriel's master, and the investor of this invasion. I'm technically part of his force, though he didn't awaken me. Adriel did. His call is hard to resist, but it's nothing compared to the rules imprinted onto our very souls.
What level are you? Zack slowly asked. And what can you bring to the table?
I am a level 73 custodian, and I have even gained 2 Tau seeds after staying here,
the ghost said with some pride piercing through his fear as he shared his status screen.
I am practically guaranteed to advance to an E-grade butler in the future. I will be better assistance to your daily life than any custodian burdened with a corporeal form could hope to be, provided you help me purchase miasma crystals for my survival.
Zack shook his head in bemusement when he saw that the ghost really was telling the truth. Its class was F, Uncommon, Spectral Custodian. There were really all types of classes in the world. He also noted with some interest that the ghost only was aligned to the undead empire. Normally, it wouldn't look like that. You were aligned to your local force, not the empire it was a part of, just like Zack was aligned to Port Atwood rather than Earth itself. Triv should have been aligned to his master's force, but he must have had mentally cut ties with it, leaving only an alignment with the undead empire.
A ghost butler, Kenzie mumbled, her mouth rising with intrigue. Might be pretty convenient with your situation.
Sign a contract to serve me properly, and you can stay on Earth, Zack said after a brief hesitation.
He knew how it would look, taking in an undead after what they had done to Earth, but Port Atwood had long since passed the point of no return in picking up stray aliens. If it had been one of the generals or the Lich King, he wouldn't be so willing to leave them alive. But a non-combat attendant couldn't be considered as culpable. Non-combat classes almost never had a say in the decisions of a force, after all.
Nothing would please me more, Triv said with a sigh, though Zack felt he didn't really mean it. But our commands preclude me from entering contracts with the living.
Oh, is that so?
Zack said as his eyes slowly turned pitch black.
That won't be a problem.
The cooldown for his change had passed while he was unconscious, allowing him to turn into his Draugr form once more. The ghost looked on, frozen with incomprehension, its mouth ajar.
Now, Zack said with his abyssal voice, the contract.
It was you the whole time. The mystery undead. This is impossible, the ghost screamed.
The Lich King said the same thing just before he died, Zack shrugged.
Such a pure bloodline. No wonder the noble lady made your acquaintance,
the ghost spoke, and his whole form shuddered as his excitement quickly mounted.
I'll sign!
The next moment, the ghost had entered a lifetime contract of servitude with Zack, and Zack finally released him from the chains that bound him. The ghost had obviously just wanted to serve as means of survival before, but now it looked beyond excited.
Why are you so happy all of a sudden? Zack asked with confusion.
I'm a custodian, a caretaker of the elite. When our master is strong, we benefit as well. Our bloodlines become stronger if our master's bloodlines are stronger.
So you're like a parasite? Kenzie asked from the side. Will you slow down my brother's cultivation?
No, not at all,
Triv hurriedly said when Zack's brows furrowed together.
This comes to no detriment to our master. You can see us as a mix of a supportive and non-combat class.
Can you buff me in combat? Zack asked curiously.
Alas, no,
Triv said with a shake of his head, but he quickly followed up when Zack's eyes dimmed with disinterest.
My skill set is more linked to your home. I can help improve its environment to better suit your needs. Lord Adriel's Dow Chamber was largely set up by me, for example. It will take some time until I can sync with you to that level, though.
What else?
I am there to deal with all the small things that flitter on my lord's periphery. Cleaning, lighting incense, keeping track of servants, maintenance of private arrays, poison, and threat detection. As I evolve, I will also gain some small healing capabilities and the ability to deal with unwanted spying or karmic manipulation. We allow our masters to focus on what's important, becoming stronger,
Triv hurriedly said. Zack had to admit it sounded pretty convenient having a butler, though that might just be Triv upselling his usefulness. But he first needed to deal with the realignment array before he went into detail about what Triv could do and what limitations he had from his compulsions. However, Zack suddenly felt a weird presence appear in his mind, and his eyes once more turned to the ghost. The chains of love's bond trapped the ghost the moment he felt the foreign presence in his mind, and the ghost wailed as he was about to be ripped to shreds.
What did you just do?
Zack growled as Kenzie looked on with confusion and worry.
My apologies, Lord. It's my skill called Deathbound Attendant. This is just our connection that you can use to send me commands, he screamed.
Zack took a steadying breath. He had overreacted a bit due to his history with getting his soul cracked. But there really was nothing wrong with the mark, after a second glance. Not that the ghost could harm him with a contract of servitude active. He dropped the subject and once more focused on the seed of undeath.
We'll talk more about what benefits you can bring later, Zack said as he turned to his sister. What do you think? Just yoink that thing?
The podium seems to be some sort of absorption array,
Kenzie nodded.
I think it will be fine to just take it. But perhaps put the thing in a separate cosmos sack?
Okay. Stand back, just in case, Zack said as he walked over.
The closer he got to the egg, the fiercer the death buffeted him. It felt like he was inside an extremely refined Dao field of death attunement, but it wasn't painful at all in his Draugr form. The seed of undeath wasn't fastened to the podium itself, but rather placed down into a groove. Zack simply reached over to put it into his spatial ring, but a surge entered his arm the moment his hand touched the smooth surface. A storm of death spread through his body, and his recently opened node was instantly filled with miasma, to the point that he gained a level in his undead form as well. He had already reached level 81 in his human form earlier. He had lost most of the energy from killing the Lich King due to the cultist's interruption, but he had gained enough to at least fill up the opened node by killing most of the zealots shortly after. Now his classes were once more in balance. His eyes lit up as he felt just how magical the thing was, and he already had an idea what to do with the egg. There was already a life-attuned cultivation cave back on his island that used the lotus as a core. What if he created an adjoining cultivation cave steeped in death, using this egg as the core? With the help of Kenzie and his new butler, it would quickly be turned into cultivation heaven that would give him a leg up in his cultivation, no matter if it was his 9 reincarnations manual or pondering on the Tao. The egg calmed down after the initial burst, and Zack safely stowed the thing away. A prompt appeared the next moment, confirming that the quest Death Defiance had been completed. Zack sighed in relief, as that meant that Earth was finally safe from being turned into the latest branch of the Undead Empire. As to whether the planet would rid itself entirely of the miasma, it was too soon to tell. The quest being marked as completed was just the beginning of the good things coming his way. An inscribed box had appeared next to him just as expected. It was the same with Kenzie, who eagerly reached for her own reward and opened the box. A small tool was placed inside the chest. It looked a bit like a pen, but there were a couple of attachments that reminded Zack of the bits to a screwdriver. Finally, there was a small crystalline bottle containing some dark purple liquid. "What's that?" Zack muttered with some interest, as he hadn't seen anything like it before.
"It's an inscription kit," the ghost sighed. "The small parts are for inscribing on different surfaces, such as array flags, stone, or skin."
Zack's eyes lit up when he heard the explanation. It looked like his sister had gotten a reward tailored for her needs, or perhaps based on the fact that she had mainly contributed by erecting arrays. In either case, it probably meant that a customized reward was waiting for him as well, rather than some random thing that might be useful or just something to throw into the merit exchange. But before he opened his own box, he noticed that it looked like the ghost was on the verge of tears.
"What's with you?" Zack asked with some bemusement.
"I just failed a quest," Triv groaned. "As the custodian of the incursion leader, I would no doubt have received an extremely valuable reward."
Zack realized that the ghost probably had an opposing quest for Death Defiance. After all, Cathaya had mentioned that the system was very much in favor of the Undead Empire causing struggle all over the multiverse, and that it brought some special benefits. He only snorted in response and instead focused on his own box. A grin was spreading across his face as he opened his box, and Kenzie walked over with interest as well. He was the one who took out the Lich King and 2 of the generals, after all. His reward should be the best one around. But he couldn't believe his eyes when he saw what was neatly placed inside.
"A lump of coal? Have you really been that naughty?"
Kenzie laughed, and Zack once again found himself questioning his relationship with the system. However, he somewhat got his hopes up as he noticed Triv staring at the box with greed in his eyes.
"This high-grade bloodline marrow!"
Zack was about to ask what the ghost knew, but a shudder suddenly rose from the ground, like a small earthquake. Was it the World Core?
"Anything?"
Agros muttered as Leech flittered back and forth among the ruins like a snake extending from his arm.
"You'd better find something to evolve, or I'll figure out some way to eat you. Blocking my evolution, you really have a death wish."
A few coruscating waves rippled along the tentacle, and it started to look through the rubble for race-boosting opportunities with more fervor. Agros snorted as he kept looking as well. He really couldn't catch a break. Agros didn't ask for much. Some good wine, a few pretty girls to accompany him, and a decent class evolution. Hadn't he earned that much by now, after being dragged through one near-death experience after another by that walking calamity? But no, this bastard attached to his soul wasn't ready to evolve, which meant that Agros wasn't ready to evolve either, apparently. Now he was stuck looking for something to help this nether-blasted planeswalker take the next step. He had already found a few valuables among the ruins, and there were also quite a few natural treasures in the cosmos sack of the general he'd killed, but nothing that would help Leech evolve. It didn't help either that the blasted shadow couldn't tell him what it needed.
"And you'd better gain the ability to communicate soon enough," the demon added. "I'm tired of guessing what ails you every day."
A sudden shudder spread through the whole fortress, and Agros stopped his search for a bit. It looked like Zack and the lass had finally managed to turn off the array. A box appeared to his side as well, and he snatched it up without hesitation before he flashed out of the ruin. Agros looked around with anticipation, but he frowned when he couldn't sense anything in the air. There was no influx of cosmic energy, and neither was there any new attunement that he could sense. Then again, anyone would be hard-pressed to make any real assumptions after the undead and the cultists had tainted the air of the area. Not that he really had any idea what a world core upgrade actually entailed. He had sounded pretty confident in front of the humans, but he was honestly just spitballing. They needed to be reminded of his value, as that human cockroach knocked off one threat after another, after all, so that the demons, or more importantly, himself, weren't left by the wayside the moment the last incursion was closed. He turned his attention to the small box in his hand, and he opened it with some anticipation. Getting a last-minute boost before evolving couldn't hurt.
"What the hell is that?" the demon muttered with a frown, but the tentacle on his arm vibrated with glee.
Chapter 92. Bloodlines. The time was finally up, and the turquoise pillar winked out of existence, leaving yet another inert Nexus hub behind. If things worked as usual, it would soon disappear without a trace like the others, leaving just the one on his island behind. The last zombies in the area had passed through the portal over an hour ago, leaving the surroundings of the fortress bare. It was nice to get a confirmation that the undead incursion truly was over, but Zack still had a hard time celebrating. Zack sighed as he looked around the rubble. The Lich King was dealt with, and the array was turned off, but he didn't really feel like a victor as he looked out across the desolate landscape. No matter what the world core upgrade entailed, it hadn't cleaned up the dour atmosphere at the core of the dead zone at all. In fact, they hadn't noticed any change at all after that weird tremor. Agros said that the upgrade would take a while, though, so there was no point in completely giving up on this area. But Zack had to admit that this place felt dead in a completely new sense of the word. Was there really a return from this? Getting blasted by the furious flames of the cultists at the 11th hour had turned things from bad to worse, and it had turned the whole area into a desolate region. Whatever those flames contained had somehow canceled out much of the miasma in the area, causing it to become almost completely void of any cosmic energy at all. It felt like just breathing was a chore right now, like there was no oxygen in the air. The Lich King had probably been spouting the things about Earth's death to mess with his mind, but there was perhaps a nugget of truth hidden inside the taunt. His new butler was no use either, as it had quickly become apparent that Triv wouldn't turn into a wellspring of information, as Zack had hoped. Any question that was related to restricted knowledge of the undead empire caused a battle between the contract of servitude and whatever compulsion the ghost was born with, and it started to shake in pain as the two orders clashed. Zack was forced to cancel his questions to save him a few times until he finally gave up learning anything of use. They did, however, manage to confirm that Triv could be used as a confirmation source if Zack already had the answer. For example, Zack could say that there was one general alive, and the ghost could confirm it. But probing where he was and what skills he or she possessed was impossible. There were also no limitations on general knowledge or non-classified intelligence of the undead empire, meaning that he could still be useful in the end. He might not be able to talk about his own kingdom, but he was more than happy to spill any rumors he could think of about the living forces of the Zekia sector. The ghost had left him alone to recuperate earlier, instead joining Kenzie in her attempts to take control of the large number of arrays that were still active in the area, while Zack kept watch and recuperated. But now that the incursion was closed, and there was no sign of the cultists returning, there was finally time to go over his gains. The cosmos sack of the assassin unfortunately didn't contain a lot. There were a set of similar spikes, like the one he used during the fight, along with two daggers shrouded in darkness. They seemed to be decent spirit tools, but Zack couldn't think of anyone they were suited for at the moment. Perhaps Agras, but that demon had already gotten more than enough benefits for free, and he would have to purchase the daggers with merit points if he wanted them. There was also a cultivation manual and a few information crystals. One of them contained surprisingly detailed intelligence of the forces of Earth, including up-to-date dockets on the top elites. His own report was actually decently accurate as well, though it was based on the period when he was closing incursions left and right, which was a shame for the assassin, as Zack was many times stronger compared to back then. However, there was one piece of information that was a bit shocking. There was actually a mention of the Tal Eladar and their recent actions. They had been seen together with the Brindavolt clan, which apparently was the name of one of the three remaining incursions that neighbored the Dead Zone. There was even a small notation that the Brindavolt clan had some sort of business dealings with other factions of the Tal Eladar. Was this their plan? Give up on Earth and somehow leave through the nexus hub of another force? Zack didn't even know whether that was possible or not, but he couldn't see any other reason for Verana to contact some random force. He had always wondered why the Tal Eladar hadn't stepped up and fought with Port Atwood when they had their backs against the wall, but it looked like he had found the answer. They had always had an exit strategy in case things turned south. The intelligence was days old, though, and Zack still didn't know what had come from the discussions, but it still left a bad taste in his mouth. However, his annoyance was quickly alleviated as he turned toward the next spatial tool. The assassin had traveled lightly, it seemed, but the spatial tools of the Lich King were a different story. The cosmos sack contained a large number of unholy beacons, though Zack realized they weren't activated. It further confirmed Zack's guess that the souls of Earthlings were used in their creation, while these things were just spares brought from home. There were also several siege tools left completely unused, along with a vast array of cultivation resources. The cosmos sack was clearly a superior variant of the sack he'd looted from Rydell, the de facto leader of the demon incursion. That meant the spatial ring was Adriel's private stash, and Zack could quickly confirm that the quality of the things stored inside was a lot higher than the things in the cosmos sack. One look was enough to confirm that Adriel truly was a formation master. There were at least 1,000 array flags in the spatial ring, though most of them seemed to be empty flags waiting to be inscribed. There was also a large number of herbs and powders, and Zack quickly realized they were poisonous after taking out a few of them. There was also a large cauldron that reminded Zack of the one he had seen the Imp Herald use in the heart of the cave systems of his island. There were a large number of crystals as well, but most interesting was a milky white crystal as large as a wash basin. He took it out with interest, and his eyes lit up after instilling some cosmic energy into it. It was suddenly showing an enormous horde that looked ready to completely crumble. An army comprised of all four races of Earth was nibbling at its heels, but the real problem came from within. The zombies had gone crazy, attacking anything around them, which usually meant they were attacking other zombies. It was like the horde had lost all cohesion, and it was suddenly everyone for himself. Zack figured that the death of the Lich King had removed, or lessened, whatever restraint kept them from killing each other, and it had turned into pandemonium. Zack tried to change the scope of the long-distance spying array, but his vision was stuck in place until he finally was forced to give up. But Zack believed that Kenzie, or someone on the island, would be able to figure the thing out. Having this thing mounted in his courtyard would be pretty convenient, as it would allow him to check in on all his islands without alerting anyone. He had always been a bit leery about Big Brother until now, but surely it was a different thing if he was the one watching. The crystal and everything else of interest was thrown into his own spatial ring, where he spotted the lump of coal once more, or rather, the bloodline marrow. Triv had no idea what kind of beast it came from, but he did know what they were used for. Not surprisingly, it affected bloodlines, but not as Zack had expected. It was actually akin to poison to warriors with a bloodline. If whatever genes were preserved inside the marrow entered the body of someone with a bloodline, there would be a clash. The resident bloodline would become agitated and force out the intruding bloodline. It didn't sound very useful on paper, but it actually had a very specific purpose. It would force a slumbering bloodline awake, and the struggle would condense and strengthen it. It was just like normal cultivation, where fighting for your life ended with you stronger, provided you survived, of course. There was also a small chance of gaining whatever bloodline hid inside the marrow, in case you didn't have one originally. But that was generally seen as a waste. It was also something that could help upgrade what Triv called beast-crafted spirit tools, which essentially meant spirit tools that used animal parts. Zack still didn't trust the ghost, even with the contract of servitude active, but he seemed to be telling the truth based on the fact that Varun's bite really wanted the thing, while Love's bond was completely indifferent. It was a relief, as that meant there wouldn't be any conflicts of interest in case he decided to feed it to Varun. Zack figured that he could finally provide his axe with a feast when they returned to Port Atwood, providing all the things he had saved up until now. However, he was still leaning toward only giving his axe the dragon core, while keeping the marrow to himself. The recent opening of his hidden node, and talking with his mother, had made him think more and more about his heritage. Not really in terms of wanting to reunite with Leandra, but rather to make the most of the odd constitution he had been given. Voidheart clearly felt like a special node based on a bloodline, and he was sure that there would be exponential benefits the more hidden nodes he opened. Especially if he managed to wake up a bloodline to match them. But Zack felt that simply boiling a piece of marrow and drinking it as a soup was too crude, and he wanted to do some more research to improve his odds of waking up his constitution. He kept going through the cosmos sack a while longer, but he soon got tired of the dour view, and he started to make his way down from the peak of the broken tower. The wound in his leg had mostly healed over the past 6 hours, but his pathways were still a bit of a mess. He believed he'd be back at full power in a week's time, tops, though, provided he wasn't forced to go all out in another battle. The biggest issue was redrawing the broken pathways, which was both painful and took a lot of time and effort now that they were so intricate. Zack was pretty disappointed with the long recuperation times, but he soon enough remembered Galvarian's experience. The aquatic cultivator had spent over a century in the E-grade, most of it on a sickbed. Being slightly weakened for a week per node was nothing compared to that. Of course, that was provided that the damage didn't get worse with each successive node. Triv was hovering just by the base of the broken-down tower, apparently having left Kenzie's side some time ago.
"You're really stuck here with us now," Zack said as his eyes turned to the spot where the miasmic pillar had once stood. "Come with me."
"It is my pleasure to stay with the young lord. How can I be of assistance?"
the ghost asked as they walked around the rubble.
"Take me to my sister,"
Zack said, and they found her resting in an emptied warehouse, with Joanna keeping guard. Zack figured this was as good a place as any, and he bought the teleportation array. However, he frowned when he couldn't see any towns on the teleportation screen. Was this place still jammed? Kenzie immediately realized something was wrong as well, but she simply threw out a large number of Nexus crystals.
It's working, but it will cost a huge number of crystals to teleport out, Kenzie muttered. The teleporter can't use the energy of the atmosphere here because there is none. I don't know if it's because of what the cultists did, or if it's an effect of the dead zone itself.
Well, we have more than enough crystals, Zack shrugged. Most of the zombies in the area have left, and we have broken the unholy beacons. Perhaps the array will work by itself as soon as the area clears up a bit. But what about the jamming?
Port Atwood had appeared on his teleportation menu after Kenzie had thrown out the Nexus crystals, but that didn't really alleviate Zack's fears after their last experience. He couldn't stop himself from throwing a glare at the ghost, who floated by the corner, and Triv could only weakly smile in return.
Either the jammers broke from us pushing through it, or more likely our people have found the arrays and disabled them, Kenzie said.
We should send something over with a note to make sure it's safe, Joanna suggested from the side, sharing Zack's sentiments. In case there are still some traps.
Zack nodded in agreement. No need to play with your life when there was no hurry to go home.
I guess, Kenzie said as she got to her feet. Have you found anything interesting?
A few things, Zack said. I've been busy recuperating for most of the time. I guess Agros has gotten his hands on anything of value by now. Do you need my help taking apart those pillars below ground?
No, it's fine now that they've been inactive for a while. Joanna helped me pry them out of the ground. By the way, I found out something interesting from your ghost butler earlier.
Oh? Zack said as he looked over at the ghost, who seemingly tried to make himself look agreeable.
Did you know it seems that a surprisingly large number of all Earthlings have pretty good bloodlines? Some that are completely unknown in the Zekia sector? She said.
Is that unusual? Zack asked.
There are sometimes some interesting bloodlines that pop up when visiting a newly integrated planet, but not like we've seen on this sea, on Earth,
Triv said from the side.
It is no doubt from the escaped test subjects.
The what? Zack asked,
but he soon realized what the ghost was referring to. The Mystic Realm. The undead believes that the Mystic Realm was used for researching bloodlines. Some of the test subjects escaped thousands of years ago, and they became our ancestors. Isn't that crazy? Kenzie said with excitement.
Zack's thoughts went back to the lump of coal in his spatial ring once more, and the mysterious hidden node in his heart. A mysterious base researching bloodlines? Wasn't that just perfect?
This is the end of Defiance of the Fall 5, an Aethon Books production. If you enjoyed this audiobook, we would love for you to rate and review it. For more Lit RPG, Cultivation Fantasy, Sci-Fi, and more, check us out at aethonbooks.com and sign up for our newsletter. Join our community on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Discord. We'd love to connect. If you enjoyed Pavi Prochko's performance, that is, my performance, you can find out more about my narration, writing, tabletop gaming, and more at paviprochkonarrator.com or paviprochko.com. Or you can just search my name on Audible. Connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. I'd love it if you said hello. Thank you for listening. And now, as promised, enjoy an original track inspired by Defiance of the Fall. Defiance, by rapper and composer Static. Follow Static on Instagram and Facebook at Static Sound. You can find this song and more by Static on all platforms that stream music. Simply search the words Defiance Static. Thanks again, and enjoy.
way out the jungle. All the monsters round me weren't ready to rumble. The system gave him life, living around for millennia. Been in touch with the goddess since the name was Centennial. The city that I claim isn't equipped for the density. Magic flowing from me like I knew it was meant to be. Underestimate you, but don't play with my energy. Massive aura suppression when I'm facing my enemies. And that's all they get to see, a high life. You gon' find me when you look in the attic. The music dropping got everybody believing in static. Put on a mask when I do these songs, I get melodramatic. Class rarity ended up as the man with the hatchet. Deeper to some than all the surface funds. Lost your balance in that sauce, so y'all forget that I'm the one with the gun. Don't think my exes ever knew that they was holding the one. This past year, March came when I was holding my son. Never lost my spot at the top of the ladder. Hamid may have been assaulted, to me the king was Aladdin. Diamond interrupt, that life could turn him into a savage. Gotta travel for music, not picking up extra baggage, I'm gone. Share my soul for 8 weeks and I'm home. My girl gon' hate to see me do it alone. The price I pay to build a covenant, to force my lineage into being present. I seen the eyes of the legends who manifest because of it. Yo, it's as if I felt the truth of it all. Another Eldian surrounded by walls. I'm Prince Boji when the order is tall. Someone's in danger, tell me who do they call. I'm never scared, but I'm prepared for the fall. I really been through it all. Kim and Brad, the mom and dad that I wish I was given. It's not my plan, cause I wouldn't have trusted the vision. He needed me on a different mission. And that's clear from the path of the accolades and the distance. I thank the people that listen. All them haters that doubted me, yeah, they had to go. I discovered the poneglyph on the back of Zoe. My sphere of influence covers my archipelago. My fans knew I was coming, they had to tell him so. I've been with John at the Beacon. I'm consistent with these songs, I'm dropping six every season. Ties to the East Coast, I need a record with treason. Got some people I can't fail, I never needed a reason. I'm not the type to speak on things that people go through. If these words make you feel heard, then I know you. When I feel lost, the music is where I go to. Meet me in the middle, my soul is what I can show you. If I could rule the world, then Kiyomi would lead the way. I don't know where I'd be if I never met up with Kay. She reached out and grabbed me when I was fading away. I got guardian angels that I can never repay. There's so much left to say.
This has been Defiance of the Fall 5, a lit RPG adventure, written by the First Defier, J.F. Brink, narrated by Pavi Prochko. Copyright 2022 by Aethon Books. Production copyright by Aethon Audio.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.